And welcome. Welcome to the Poetry on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. Broadcasting live from the Firefall studio. The only place you can hear us live is on Spreaker.com. This is where we get back to basics, examining the Word of God. Sometimes we focus specifically on the Book of Acts Church, and this Poetry Online Bible study was created to consider how the early church served the Lord. We've been here for a while now trying to restore the priesthood of the believer, you know, that world-shaking influence the early church had. Sometimes I think we're making headway, and then other times I don't, but we just take it one week at a time as we prepare for the return of the King. We take a deeper look at Scripture. We don't filter it out. We don't water it down. We just take it as it was written, as it was intended to be. And I believe that in the process, we find the church the Lord intended, not the one man created, because we believe the church age is still in effect. The fire still falls. The Porch is an outreach, Solomon's Porch, Inc., on solomonsporch.org. If you want to contact us, if you want to support us, go to firefalltalkradio.com. There are ways at the bottom to do that. We appreciate your support and encouragement. Appreciate our Blog Talk, iTunes, and iHeartRadio listeners, and maybe pretty soon I'll be saying Spotify listeners as well. There are over 8 years worth of archives on Firefall Talk Radio's Blog Talk Radio account. If you have a favorite show or topic, find it, download it, and save it, because I will be deleting all of the archives over the next 30 days. As I announced last week, changes are coming. I can no longer keep both accounts up and running. I've tried to be loyal to everyone, but it's not working. Asked for feedback as to what people wanted and got two responses. And I'm okay with that. That just confirms to me what I already know. So one account will be shut down, and I will let you know when the time comes which one that will be. As far as the praise reports and prayer requests, I also mentioned last week we've been doing this for 5 years. Started out with great support and great interest. Many of the people who pushed for it and encouraged it are no longer around. Same two or three people participate. And I have not decided yet whether I'm going to keep it or not. I've heard some valid reasons why, and I'm considering it. But the format of the Porch is going to change in June no matter what. We need to pray for the people on the Big Island of Hawaii. 21 fissures have opened up, wreaking sulfuric gas. Of the 21 fissures, number 17 is the longest and has been shooting lava like a fountain and, quote, sending spatter more than 100 feet in the air. There's been a red alert issued today, which means that they are believing that a major eruption is imminent. USGS officials have said that a fireic eruption could happen at the crater at the top of Kilauea volcano, which would send ash plumes as far as 12 miles from the summit crater. We have a couple that I know that I met many years ago that live 6 miles from ground zero. So please keep Tim and Chris and all of their furry kids, they have a lot of farm animals, in your prayers. Last I heard from her, she said the trade winds were keeping the gas away and they've been able to breathe, but if the winds shift, they're in trouble. Our brothers and sisters around the world are suffering. 3 bombs exploded across 3 churches in Indonesia, Surabaya, the capital of East Java province, on Sunday, May 13th. While Christians gathered to worship, 10 people were killed in the attack, including worshipers, a suicide bomber, and several police officers. 40 others were injured. It's been reported that the attacks were planned and executed by one family, a husband, wife, and 4 children, that are involved in terrorism and tied to ISIS. That's what our brothers and sisters, and this is regular, I'm just mentioning one, go on around the world. So we need to pray for them every day. This coincided with the beginning of the Muslim period of Ramadan, which began on May 15th. At the same time, We know that Israel celebrated its 70th anniversary as a nation on May 14th, from the time that the declaration was signed and the land was released to them. On that same day, the U.S. opened the new embassy in Jerusalem, acknowledging what we already knew, that Jerusalem was its capital. Things heated up along the Gaza Strip. Hamas set terrorists there. Media, of course, is siding with Hamas and the Palestinians. We know where we are in the time frame. So pay attention to that. Keep Jerusalem and Israel in your prayers. Shavuot 2018 begins Saturday, sundown, May 1st, into sundown Monday the 21st. This church celebrates Pentecost on Sunday the 20th. A lot of stuff going on at the same time. And for me and members of SRT, I can tell you that when the clock struck 8 a.m. in Israel, which was different for us here in America, we came under attack. And the only reason we could think that the attack was so specific, somehow it tied to that event. The enemy knows the time frame. Everything shifted on the 14th, folks. Watch and pray. I praise the Lord for my home, for my wife, for my family, our furry kids, all of our possessions, many of which I'm using right now. I praise him for his protection, his word, his ministry that he lets me handle for him. I praise him for you, for the dreams and the visions. I praise him for the faith that he's given us, the measure of faith through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, for his healing virtues. And I praise him for the ability to praise him. As you know, every week I tell you, I love to praise the Lord. I praise him for being a new creation. The old Richard was not somebody that would be doing this, that's for sure. So be thankful that I am not that old guy. He's dead. And I praise him that we're living in these prophetic times, as I just shared. So we're in America. I know that sometimes we complain, but the fact is, right now, we are in what I believe to be the greatest place in the world to live. There is no other place I would live. Ready for the signs? I am, so I praise him for him. I'm ready for his return. Get your lamps trimmed. Let's get ready. Come on. Creation is groaning for the return of the King. I groan when I pray. My spirit man groans. So let's praise him for the coming kingdom and the new Jerusalem, which means we must pray for the current Jerusalem and the peace of Israel. We pray for the fatherless, the widows, the innocents, the victims of injustice, our brothers and sisters around the world. I pray that we would prosper as our soul prospers in accordance with his word. Divine wholeness, health, and healing in me, my wife, my family, in all of you, getting back to the way we were designed to be. I want you to do this. Listen to me. Start praying every day and throughout the day. Pray for yourself to get back to their divine design. When a new cell is created in the assembly line on every fourth day, just begin to pray that on that fourth day, the cell that's created goes back to the divine design of your Abba Father. Believe it, receive it. Because some of us, many of us, are ill. We're dealing with illnesses and sicknesses and things, and I think some of it is because we have accepted it. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm not saying that what you're feeling is not real. But I think we've been tricked by the enemy and by the world and by our own weariness to accept things as they are. I'm praying for the remnant to wake up, rise up, and answer the call to action. And for those that are able to bless would be a blessing. And for those that make commitments to keep them, got to be honest with you folks, I'm weary. I'm weary of the struggle. I'm weary of people not keeping their word. I'm weary of people that could be a blessing that aren't. But we go on. We live day to day, and the Lord gets us through, and we will believe. As I've already said many times, everything changed for me in 2018. What I thought would be the original mission, I was handed a new set of plans by the Lord and a higher level, higher assignments, things I'm working on that I can't really discuss right now. They will probably come to light in the next month or so. That means we need a higher level of prayer, higher level of intercession, preparation, and response. I'm praying for protection over me, my family, over SRT, over Firefall, We have a calling. We have a job to do, and we're going to do it. The enemy knows it. The enemy knows the time and has responded accordingly. Deb in Orlando, yes, that's my Deb in Orlando, has asked for prayer for a former worker named Elisa who passed away suddenly. So the prayer is for her family and her 13-year-old son, Jaden. Stacy in Texas, I'm thankful for my family, furry kids, and like-minded believers in my life. Neil, her husband, finally got into the school system here as a substitute. With only a week and a half left in school, maybe he'll get something for summer school. Who knows? She said, we'll have to figure out a way to make it through the summer. Said, I applied for a job as a weekend RN as a long-term care facility. Please pray for me on this. I'm nervous. I can tell you what, my mother was in one at the end of her life. And they need nurses that know and love the Lord, that can not only tend to the people's physical needs, but emotional and spiritual needs as they're allowed. She said, I have an unspoken prayer request for our marriage as well. Kim in Fort Mitchell, good morning. Shall we start out very cheery? Hope all is well over there in Florida. It's raining here in Fort Mitchell, and we needed the rain. Well, it's raining here, and it has not stopped raining. It's like somebody turned the faucet on, walked away, and forgot. So, well, as you know, I've been struggling with forgiveness. It's hard to forgive if what happened goes deeply against our values and beliefs. God showed me how, and I'm so grateful for this. I learned that forgiveness is a process, something that can't be forced. It takes time. I also learned that all I had to be was willing. I told God, I don't know how to forgive these people, but I'm willing, and he did the rest. This was an important lesson learned for me, and I marked and dated this in my Bible. I had to share this. Maybe it's going to help someone who's going through something similar. Said, I'm also forever grateful for my salvation, my sobriety, my children, my dog Bruno, this ministry, and everything he provides for my family and I. Says, tomorrow at 2 p.m., I have a phone interview for the unemployment appeal that I filed after being denied. I'm at peace with it. Whatever decision will be, I've forgiven them. I am praying for God's will to be done. I need a couple of people to commit. 2 p.m., I think that's Central Time, Alabama time, to be praying for Kim. So I'm praying for my husband, Sean, for his soul to be saved. Father, I claim him to write his name in the book of life. I claim that, well, you can claim that his name be written. Only the Lord can do the writing. I'm praying for my marriage and for protection of my family as well as the Porch families. Father, I'm praying for my son, Maurice, my daughter, London, Sarah. Deliver them, Father. Claim them. I am praying for Stacy and her family. Praying for my mom. Heal our bodies and spirits. Protect our possessions. Favor us and bless us, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, you've given us this ability. You said that whatever we asked in your name would be done. That if we would touch and agree. And I believe that as long as it lines up with your word and your will, it shall be done. So we touch and we agree that these things be done. And that the prayers that are being prayed right now be done. We pray right now, Father, that you would send your angels to minister to all of us that need ministry. To encourage us, to strengthen us. We pray, Father, that the strong man would be bound and that what he has stolen would be returned. That favor would come where favor is needed. Healing would come where healing is needed. We pray for salvation, most of all for our loved ones, for people that we know, we care about, and want to see in eternity. Right now, Father. Into the spirit realm we speak. We say their names out loud. And we claim them into the kingdom. We break off of them whatever's hindering them from saying, yes, Lord, I make you Lord of my life. We love you. We love you, Father. I sometimes tell you this. I can't even count the number of times in the day. I thank you. I thank you for the cross. I know I couldn't have done it. In my natural mind, I'd say, yeah, I would give it a shot, but I know I couldn't have endured what the Lord did. No man could. So thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you did for us. Thank you for the love that held you there. Thank you for the commitment to the cause and to the calling and to the reconciliation and restoration of God's children to their heavenly Abba Father. We want to hear your voice. We want to feel your touch. We want to know your will. We want the fire to rise up inside of us so that we can be beacons of lights in these final days. So, Lord, prepare us. Open our hearts and our minds. We just thank you for all that. In Yeshua's name, amen. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. Combination of that information and the manner presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. So for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. That's Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. And we know that they were waiting for the bridegroom, and they slumbered and slept. They fell asleep. The wise had trimmed their lamps, and there was oil in their vessels, and they were ready. The five unwise had run out of oil. They had nothing extra. Even though they could trim their lamps, they were not ready. And the bridegroom showed up, and all that were there ready for him were the five wise virgins. And he closed the door. And then the other virgin showed up saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. And the ending was, watch therefore, you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming, clearly telling you that he is the bridegroom. Revelation 19:7 tells us, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. We're warned about watching for his coming in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, verses 42 and 44. Watch therefore, for you don't know what hour your Lord is coming. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. But he expects something. He expects us to be ready. Now, isn't that interesting? He will show up unexpectedly, but he will have an expectation. And the expectation is that we're ready. In one of the parables of Matthew 13, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. It's a field. The kingdom of heaven, which we know in Matthew means the kingdom of God. It was a field. He planted seeds. He expects to see a crop. When he shows up at harvest season, he expects to see something ready to harvest. And he gave us everything we needed to be ready. And one of the things he gave us was the Holy Spirit. We're in the middle of a storm, folks, so if you lose me, I will post the recording up on the speaker account for you to hear, because it continues to record onto my laptop. John 14, verse 16 and 17, Amplified, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, a standby, that he may remain with you forever. That's what abide means. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome to take into its heart, because it does not see him or know him and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. When you go to John 14, verses 16 and 17, anytime it says in you, underline that, highlight it, remind yourself the Holy Spirit is in you. Get down to verse 26 of John 14, the comforter, the counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, the standby, the encourager, the one who runs alongside of you, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things. And he will cause you to recall, will remind you, or bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. So having read all that, I have to ask two questions. Is he in you, or are you still looking for him? That was one question. Second question, is he internal or external? I see people post stuff on social media, and it does frustrate me. It shouldn't, but it does. And I see them post things that they think is great that doesn't line up with the Word. And they're posting things by big-name televangelists who should know better, who keep talking about the Holy Spirit as if he's an external manifestation. He's not. He's in you. So you are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Folks, stop talking the gospel and start living it. Stop preaching and start being. If you're in a situation that's uncomfortable, maybe God has put you somewhere you don't want to be, well, maybe you're there to be a living example that you know Jesus of Nazareth. You know Yeshua HaMashiach. Not because of the words you say, but by the things you do. I see so many things over these years of being saved. Sometimes I was the one doing it, where we are not good representations of the gospel. So here we have these foolish virgins. They're in the right place at the right time, but they're not ready. It says they slumbered and slept, and that's like somebody, you know, somebody's trying to stay awake, and they do the head nod, and they snap back, and they try to stay awake, and they're nodding, and then finally they fall asleep. They were sitting there, and they were overcome by drowsiness, and then they're gone. But they should have known better. Okay, they woke up just like the wise ones woke up, but the wise ones woke up ready. The foolish ones immediately realized they'd made a mistake. They were out of oil. And I read an interesting commentary where the ones say, go buy it, and they go to buy it. I think, and I agree with this commentary, that it was a mocking comment. It's not something you could buy. You can't buy the oil of the Holy Spirit. You either have it or you don't. And you either keep it alive and you keep the fire burning or you don't. They were waiting. They knew the bridegroom was coming. They thought they were ready. They were dressed. But they missed him. I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty and swept and put in order. That's in Matthew 12:44, and that's where the Lord's talking about the spirit that has been cast out of the house. Now the house is clean. Looks good. Everything's nice, but it's empty. What that means is it's not filled with the Word. It's not filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit. When you see an empty lamp, you should figure out that the world, the flesh, and the devil had something to do with it. So the entire tone of that story, knowing the wedding customs, knowing all the historicity, which we've covered over the last couple of weeks, it implies one thing about that moment. A burning light, a torch, was necessary. Do you carry a torch for the Lord? Do you? Are you so in love with him that somebody could just look at you and see it in your eyes? I'm a people watcher. It comes from my nature of seeing in two worlds at the same time, but also from the years of security and all the things I've done. I try to see everything. And I watch people's eyes. And I can spot believers. There's a look in their eyes. They're just different. You see, by them not having a burning lamp ready for the arrival of the bridegroom, they dishonored him. They dishonored him in a way that can't be explained in our customs. So when he shut the door on them, that was pretty definitive. But the other thing was, he knew who the guests were waiting for that ceremony by their torches. And because they had no lamps, they just happened to be outside, they did not get admittance. Listen to what I'm saying. You've been sealed and given the Spirit in your hearts as a guarantee. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Ephesians 1:13 says, "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Ephesians 4:30, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." By those foolish virgins not having a lit torch, he knew not to give them entry. Some pretty powerful visuals there. So according to 2 Corinthians 1:22, which was the first one I read, God seals the believer. We can't do it. He does it. He seals you in the Spirit, and he gives you the pledge of the Spirit. And when we believe and we're sealed in the Spirit, we're sealed until the day of redemption. You're marked. You're bought with a price. Name written in the Lamb's Book of Life by the King of Kings, by the Lamb himself. So when you are born again, when you are baptized, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you have something only believers have. Stop expecting non-believers to understand what I'm talking about. They can't. Once their eyes are open, they will. But the only group that this applies to are born-again believers, both Jew and Gentile. I read a couple of commentaries today that really annoyed me. They were very much replacement theology, as if the church was the only one who had that guarantee. And I'm sorry, the early believers were messianic. They were Jewish. To both Jew and Gentile, if they believe, they're sealed. If they've made Yeshua Lord of their life, they're sealed. If they accept the atoning work that he did for them on the cross, they're sealed. But we need to start acting like it. The Holy Spirit is your stamp of admittance and acceptance. You know, when you go to these places and you pay your fee to get in, and they stamp your hand and they can show it under the light. Oh, you paid. You're welcome. Come in. You're stamped. You're marked. You've been sealed. The Lord knows those who are his. 2 Timothy 2:19. He knows who belong to him. See, the five foolish virgins, had a bigger problem than just their lamp going out and being empty. Their problem was they were rejected because of it. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord." The other virgins came and said, "Lord, Lord, open to us." Remember what I said last week, "Lord, Lord." Here it's Matthew 7:21. It's a pleading. It's emotional. But he answered, they said, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. How do you not know me? You're not sealed. My mark's not on you. All believers are identified by him as his because of the Holy Spirit, God's gift to his people. See, this is what makes Pentecost. This is what makes that moment in the upper room so vitally important. Yes, it was about the power. Yes, it was about the gift. Yes, it was about the Great Commission. Yes, it was about, or at least supposedly about, restricting, restraining, and occupying and subjecting the enemy. But most of all, what it was about was the guarantee of the promise. Sealed. Kind of like when the high priest sealed the oil in the vessels in the tabernacle in the temple. If you remember the story of the Maccabees, they found oil, but the oil that they found was not pure. It didn't have the high priest seal on it. The high priest seal was broken. This was oil that was impure, improper. Folks, we got some oil going through the church right now that's improper. It's profane. It's a strange fire. I have no idea what's going to happen when they stand before the Lord. I really don't. I've seen some people say that they are exhibiting the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and I know what they're exhibiting, and it's an unholy spirit. And I shudder to think what's going to happen when they stand before him and he replays their life, the snapping, the hissing, the jerking, all the false teachings, the false prophecies, all the things that they did, and then looks at them and says, I never knew you. But see, the high priest was given instruction on how to make the anointing oil in Exodus chapters 25 and 30. And they were told what to use, how to use, what to put into it, but they were told to keep it pure. They were told to keep it sanctified. They were told how to contain it, and that it burned from night till dawn. We know that the Holy Spirit is the symbol of the oil, and the incense is the sacrifice and the life that he has given us. But he gave them very detailed instructions. Nothing was left to chance or human ingenuity. Do it this way and do it this way always. Unfortunately, today everybody's got a new way, a new idea. Oh, we need to be contemporary. We need to be cutting edge. We need to get up to date. And we wonder why we're so ineffective. The ingredients for the oil were carefully spelled out, how it was measured, how you're supposed to do it, the order in which it was to be done. It was a unique blend that the Lord himself created. And it wasn't used for any other purpose than holiness and setting things apart for the service of God in the tabernacle and in the temple. It wasn't for the ordinary. It wasn't for the mundane. You know, I've been accused of a lot of things, but I can be a little bit fanatical about the Lord and about how things are done. Yes, I can. He did things in accordance with his will. It was his will, his way, or not. Meaning, don't do it. If you're not going to do it his way, don't do it. Don't tell me this is a new revelation. Don't tell me the Lord put this into my spirit, and then I listen to you, and I know not only does it not line up with the Word, it doesn't glorify the Lord, therefore it only has one other source. And I also believe that we only have one commission. It wasn't to build buildings. It wasn't to do all the things that we've done for these last 1,500 years or so, 1,600 years. Get people saved, get them healed, get them delivered, get them filled with the Holy Spirit, disciple them, repeat, do it again, repeat, do it again, repeat, do it again, plunder the kingdom of darkness. How do we do that? Get people saved, healed, and delivered, disciple them, repeat, do it again. Help people how to live in this fallen world, help them how to walk in the darkness, help them be a light to the world, help them how to shine their lamp, help them how to carry their lamp, explain even what the lamp is. We are the kings and the priests. We are the ones who help one another. I think part of the reason I get frustrated, and this is just me sharing from my heart, is that after all these years of doing this, it just feels like it's not making a difference. I know that's prophecy. I know it's the enemy. I know it's what we're seeing right now is the way it's supposed to be, that there would only be a remnant that would want to do this. The harvest is great. Laborers are few. The Lord said that a very long time ago. It's gotten no better. But we were supposed to be the incense. That oil, that incense, the things we see in the temple and the tabernacle, which were a foreshadowing of Yeshua, we are to be to the world through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We were supposed to be special. We weren't supposed to look and sound like the world. We were supposed to be different. Yeshua is our high priest. He's coming back as a king. And he has an expectation. Remember, his arrival is unexpected. But he has an expectation. You've been purchased by his blood. You've been set aside for him. He's made us kings and priests to serve our God. Kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Revelation 1:6. Show me somewhere in your word where you're just a spectator. Show me somewhere in your word where you're supposed to run to somebody else to do what you were called to do. Oh, if you're sick, they're supposed to bring the elders together to anoint you with oil and pray over you. We're all in this together. That's the concept of the lamp, the trimmed wick, all of us bringing our lamps together. But the fact is, you have a part to play. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. Stop thinking natural thoughts. You can be in your 80s, and yes, your body's not doing what it used to do, but what will you accept out of those conditions? Maybe you're young, and nobody wants to listen to you. If you're willing to follow, you'll be able to lead. If you're not willing to follow, you can't lead. Good leadership comes from good followership. And after doing this now, for as long as I've been doing it, almost 30 years, I can tell you very clearly, I get the whole maturity thing. But you have a heavenly calling. You are partakers of a heavenly calling. And we need to consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Messiah Yeshua, in everything that we do, in everything that we represent, in everything that we say. I fail at that. I gripe. I get in the flesh. I get frustrated. I'm tired. I'm weary. I let my thoughts get ahead of me, and then I have to stop, and I have to pray, and I have to repent. But I want to be a lamp in the darkness. I want to be a light for those that are lost. I want to be a word of encouragement and a touch, a healing hand. Maybe it's just a hug. I want to be a sweet fragrance that represents Yeshua. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 14. But thank God he has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Messiah's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Messiah everywhere like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a Messiah-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. And who is adequate for such a task as this? The Amplified says, "For we are the sweet fragrance of Messiah, which exhales unto God, discernible alike among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the latter, it is an aroma wafted from death to death, a fatal odor, the smell of doom. To the former, it is an aroma from life to life, a vital fragrance, living and fresh. And who is qualified, fit, and sufficient for such thing? Who is able for such a ministry? And yet he chose us to do it. God commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, which has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Yeshua, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. But we have these treasures, this treasure, this very specific treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." You know, those little lamps that they held were made from clay. They have found them on archaeological digs. And I've looked at the pictures, and I've looked how these little earthen clay lamps were shaped, and how the point came up in the wick. The little wick was on the end, but the oil went in the middle. And they kept oil in a pouch to keep filling it in as it burned out. And they had the ability to trim that wick to keep it down low, because when it's really big, it gives off a really strange flame, bizarre-looking flame, almost like a snake. But we are those clay vessels. He's put that oil, that pure oil, inside of us, so that we can bring light to the world. See, and because of that light, because of that spirit, and because of that fire, we eagerly hope for righteousness by faith. We eagerly hope and are inspired by his return. You see, it is the Holy Spirit inside of us that makes us eager for his return. I meet people and there's no eagerness at all. "Oh yeah, I know he's coming back. Bible tells me he's coming back. Yeah, I heard that." I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you not excited about that? Is there not an eagerness inside of you for his return? Do you not look at the signs of the time and say, "Maranatha, come, come, Lord, come"? See, that's the spirit. That's this oil. That's this light. That's what makes that parable so powerful and so frightening. Now, if you look at Romans chapter 8, and you start with verse 18, and you begin to see it through these eyes, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our bodies." For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is not seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly await for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom we foreknew, he also, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, those he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, these he will also glorify. Those foolish virgins came back. The door was shut. I don't know you. I do not know you. I never knew you. In the book, The Holy Spirit by Charles C. Ryrie, this is what he says. He said, one of the best earthly illustrations of sealing, as in the sealing of the Spirit, is a piece of registered mail. When something is registered at the post office, it is sealed until delivered. Actually, only two persons can open registered mail, the sender and the recipient. In the case of the believer, God is the one who sends him on the way to heaven, and God in heaven is the recipient on his arrival there. See, we've been registered. We've been sealed. He knows us. Therefore, only he can break the seal. And he's promised not to do so. And the guarantee of that promise is the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of us, who is the one by in whom we've been sealed by God. I don't know if this is coming across or not, but the vital importance of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, of the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit, both the gifts and the fruit working together. One without the other is dysfunctional and can be destructive. How vital that is. Shining his light into the world is not just for us to show off or to be known. It's to show him. To show him off. Let's face it, in the middle of a hurricane, in the middle of a darkness and a power outage, and when people can't see, they're not going to ask you, hey, what brand of flashlight is that? How many batteries does it carry? Nope, all they're going to want to know is that you have a flashlight. That's all they want to know. Do you have that light in you? For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts so as to beam forth the light, with a capital L, for the illumination of the knowledge and the majesty and the glory of God as it is manifest in the person and is revealed in the face of Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus, the Messiah. However, we possess this precious treasure, the divine light of the gospel, the oil of the Holy Spirit, in frail human vessels of earth. And the grandeur and the exceeding greatness of the power may be shown to be from God, not from ourselves. It doesn't matter how old, doesn't matter how young, doesn't matter what kind of shape you're in, doesn't matter any of those things. What matters is the light. We are hedged in, though. We're pressed on every side. We're troubled and oppressed in every way, but not cramped or crushed. We suffer embarrassments and are perplexed and unable to find a way out, but not driven to despair. We are pursued, persecuted, and hard-driven, but not deserted to stand alone. We are struck down to the ground, but never struck out and destroyed. We're always carrying around in the body the liability and the exposure to the same putting to death that the Lord Jesus, Lord Adonai Yeshua, suffered, so that the resurrection life of Yeshua may also be shown forth by and in our bodies. For we who live are constantly experiencing being handed over to death for Yeshua's sake, that the resurrection life of Yeshua also may be evidenced through our flesh, which is liable to death. Thus, death is actively at work in us, but it is in order that our life may be actively at work in the world for Him. I'm not going to be so harsh on the foolish virgins. I get it. It takes effort to stay awake. He's been delayed. See, that happened a lot in those times. The bridegroom was late, the wedding gets delayed. Everything in you wants to go to sleep. You're tired. You've been waiting for a while. But this is all that I can tell you. The one we wait for is worthy of our efforts to be ready. No matter how long it takes, the blessed hope keeps the fire burning on the oil of the Holy Spirit in these clay vessels. As I look at the signs of the times, as I see everything that's going on, as I see how they line up to Matthew 24, Luke 21, all the warnings about the end, what would happen, what we should be watching. As I see this volcano in Hawaii getting ready to go off, and I've read detailed things that I didn't have time to go into about what it would look like, and chunks the size of trucks and buses would be flung into the air, and I look at the image of where that volcano is, dead center in the ring of fire. And I've seen the scientific reports of what could possibly happen if that thing hits at a certain level just below the crust of the earth and creates a ripple effect in all those other fault lines and all those other volcanoes. Folks, I really pray that does not happen. But if it should happen, I have an expectation of the blessed hope of His return. I look at what's going on in the Middle East. I look at prophecy being fulfilled. The United States moved their embassy. All these other people are moving their embassies there. And I get how exciting that is, but I also understand that's going to make it a whole lot easier for the Antichrist when he shows up, if all the nations of the world are in Jerusalem. I see things going on in the financial market where we're heading towards a cashless society. I see all the things that are happening in the spirit realm, all the things that are happening that the fallen are doing, and I can get frustrated, but I also see that we're heading to a conclusion. We're heading to a cataclysmic confrontation between the powers of darkness and the kingdom of God. And I hold on to the blessed hope. The oil inside of me tells me to. And it encourages me to shine. It encourages me that the believer's lamp should be ready. The wick should be trimmed to just that eighth of an inch so that it just barely lights and the flame that it provides is bright and pure and clean. There's no soot, there's no smoke, there's none of those things. And there's just enough oil inside that lamp to keep it going. And should it run down, you have more oil. You never run out of oil. prayer and praise and studying the Word and keeping the Spirit stirred up inside of you. But you know what? Even if the oil has dried up, even if you've allowed it to dry up, do you know that olive oil, the oil that they've created for these lamps, leaves a residue? It doesn't completely dry up. They found a glass flask from during or before the time of Yeshua. It was unearthed in Israel, and it still had the residue of olive oil in it. Clearly identifiable that it was olive oil. So if you're dried out, if you're dried up, if the light's gone out right now, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray that He would fill you, that He would refill you, that whatever you've done to allow the flame to go out and the oil to dry up, that you would repent. Say, I'm sorry, Lord, fill me. I'm sorry, Lord, light me on fire. I'm sorry, Lord, let me shine you to a lost and dying world so that I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover, that I can cast out these things which torment and destroy your people, that I could raise the dead, the deaf would hear, the lame would walk, that I could lead them to you. See, we want revival, we want awakening, but it has to start here. It has to start with us. It has to start with those who call themselves believers. It has to start in our homes, in our lives, in our hearts. So, Father, right now, please, from the throne room, pour. I want to be soaked in it, Lord. I want it to run out onto my bosom. I want it to be dripping in it. I want to leave oil prints all in the world as I walk, scorch marks as the fire of the Holy Spirit burns behind me, so that the enemy would know that you were there and that people could find, that they could smell that fragrance of the incense and find life and find it abundantly. Father, I pray that we would hear and receive and do. We need you. We need you right now. For all that are listening, for all that care, for all that stuck it out, honor their desires, honor their effort, honor our cry, Father. I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.